Blog Talk Radio.
Strap me to the chair, I'm guilty. I killed it and I didn't care, oh Lord, I am guilty. Unapologetic grin, say, I'm guilty. They're gonna leave me to strike again when they know that I'm guilty. My hands are filthy. Maybe in the next life I'll come back as a better girl, but right now I'm just pissed cause I killed it enough to go federal. Yes, I'm stuck in this county chain, yeah. They gave me life, but I swear I'll go postal and murder everything here till they give me the chair. Bundling me with a bunch of small time hoodlums, purse grabbers, petty criminals, counterfeiters, grave robbers. People claiming we got beef when me never even see them. And I come with a burger, me ever heard a Brahman configure them. Saying stuff like that could negatively affect my time, cause it's treated like a crime every time I pick up my rhymes. Everybody else is allowed to be proud of their crappy lines, but somehow I'm egotistical if I say I'm proud of mine. Double standard industry efforts trying to mess with my head, saying crap like she killed it good for a girl, but I'm confused, is it less dead? It's amusing really, the story of my life. Get less charges for spitting bullets than others get for spitting a dinner knife. But denial wears so many disguises, like Bruce Willis, dead, just refuse to realize it. Calculating assassin, should be lethally injected instead. I'm breaking rocks with misdemeanor, mother effort's chained to my legs. Strap me to the chair, I'm guilty. I killed it and I didn't care, oh Lord, I am guilty. Unapologetic grin, say, I am guilty. Whoa, they're gonna leave me to strike again when they know that I'm guilty.
My hands are filthy.
Alrighty. Hotep, Akwaba, bless up. Greetings and welcome, Black. Well, this is still the recovery room of Racism Non-Anonymous, bringing you trauma recovery with love. And I must say that all that I say and that I share here with you is out of and with love. With love for self first. It is my love of myself that I choose to share my shit, to share my experiences, because I am interested in supporting my own healing and recovering from those very, from the shit and from the shit that I have experienced in this life. Remembering and telling the truth about terrible events are both prerequisites for restore order and healing individual victims. That is a direct quote from Dr. Judith Herman that came from her seminal work entitled Trauma and Recovery. From political terror to domestic violence and domestic violence, but certainly looking at the trauma and the from that comes from political terror, as well as that which comes with domestic violence. And certainly for me and for we people of African descent have in fact experienced traumatic stress from the perpetrated upon us from the those in charge of this social order, the social order of Western thinking and behaving, and the political terror that has ensued, from that, for us, as well as then the domestic violence that we perpetrate against each other. You know, shit flows down. We know that that is a, what do you call that, that arena of study and that area of people activity whereby they study the flow of, you know, and the rates of, yikes, whichever it is, and at any rate. So it is with love that I will be sharing the truth and my truths. And those, many of those truths are for me very shameful, and they will trigger the feeling and the sensation of shame for myself. And they may also cause others, those in, who were involved in those experiences, to feel shameful. And that there may be a sense of shame that, oh, that's a shame, she's telling them people's business. But it's like I'm telling my business, and for those who were there, it is, it will be, it may be exposing their business and their shit. And I must do that for myself, for when I tell my truth, in order to support my healing and to promote social order, or rather, excuse me, a restoration of social order, then I must tell the whole truth, and nothing save the truth. And in order for me to best do that, given that for myself, I will be sharing experience where I have been the victim and I have been harmed, I do recognize and see myself and know that I am a traumatized traumatologist, and as such, I have experienced, you know, harm. You know, plain and simple, let's say this, plain and simple, this whole thing of trauma, in a nutshell, abuse. It's abuse, it's verbal, it's physical, it's emotional abuse, acts of abuse perpetrated against folks, which is traumatically stressful for the person who experiences the abuse that has been intentionally perpetrated by another person upon their person. Right. So that's what it's about. And as a woman of African descent, as a Black woman who's been in this world for 55 years, I have experienced my fair share of abuse from within and from without, internal and external, that which I perpetrate even against myself and that which others perpetrate against me, that which I experience within my family system, within my communal system, and what I experience without, that is, on the societal level and outside of my even ethnic experience, my cultural value or cultural stage. And what I like to begin with, and what's been on my mind at least for the past 36 hours or so, has been an experience that it's very close, very close. It was with members of the African family and community for me. Very close to me, that would be the Rasta community. For that divide or division of our African cultural collective is one that I strongly identify with, as I listen to the story that they tell in their music, as we heard in our opening song, Guilty, I'm Guilty. I'm getting ready to tell the truth, I'm guilty. I said it, yes, I'm going to give up the names, the tapes, everything. My shit, your shit, whatever, you know, because I'm working to heal. And I am working to show how to do it. I am willing to use myself first, as I also invite others to join me. And let's have a meeting in the recovery room. See, because I recognize that the actions and acts that have been perpetrated by folks of African descent upon me and upon we, upon each other, that thing folk call black on black crime. You know, for that's what really and ultimately I'm speaking about, at least just for today. How some black folks have behaved, and for me, yes, it's fucking criminal. You know, I mean, I spent my last to get up there to that Rasta village, and the connection spiritually was quick and quick and there. And those black folks began to do some stuff that was like, wow. And I, you know, if even those black folks, our collective of, and when I say collective, I'm referring to the collective of folks of African descent who are conscious of the shit in the situation and the system that we are living within and which we know has caused harm to us and which supports our harming of ourselves, and who have a vision, dreams, and desire for putting forth conversations and opportunities to promote healing and recovery. You know, at that particular Rasta village, it presents itself as the space for the healers to heal, healing the healers. And certainly for myself, recognizing myself and my work as one within the healing profession. Healing the mental and emotional wounds that our people have experienced here in America. You know, working as a therapist, a mental health, behavioral health therapist, yes. I could now stop and put forth more credentials, more of my credentials and my educational background and my professional work background, you know, given that I've worked like about 30 years in this profession with people out there on, you know, in the streets, you know, even with the people. And it is those experiences, both those very personal as well, experiences, having lived with the shit that I've lived with from my family. It's just that I'm focused on the communal relationships and the communal connections tonight, right now, just for today. For sure, we will also be exposing stuff that happened, family level experience, the societal level experiences, and even ultimately and always the individual level experience, my role in the shit. You know, what I did, what I didn't do, what I could have done, should have, would have, wanted to. And I may not even focus so much on those aspects of the experience, yet to simply recognize and share what I have learned from that experience, the blessing, the lesson and the blessing from it. And that's where, you know, I would work to leave it, because practicing within this program, a 12-step, practicing any 12-step program, there's three parts. And for this one of RNA, it's about our experience, strengths, and plans for making the changes that we need to make. Well, we must share those experiences first. We must get that shit out of the head and out of the heart, and get gut honest with another person and what happened and what I allowed even to happen in my life. I allowed these Rastas to sort of what? Walk over me, ignore me, dismiss me, disregard me. For those, that's what comes to mind right now as I begin to focus more on that experience with the Rasta. And in particular, I'm thinking about the sister. And I got there up to the Rasta village up in Montego Bay. And the sister, the first sister, you know, sort of that, you know, I connected with, you know, who was, yes, she's about 10 years my junior, if not 20 maybe. And her practice or her gift and work that she does is more, what was it, reflexology, I believe, you know. And that's what she was there to do, you know, for the people who would come through the village there, the Rasta village. And though, and I went, you know, going my with my last scheduled 2 weeks so that I would have the time and be available and have the time, you know, to do the work, you know. And for 2 weeks, yet even within that first week, the sister had asked me a question. She said, you know, she made a comment, rather, because, it, you know, I let them know. It was very, it was difficult for me to understand people up there in the village, because coming from where I'm from, you know, here in the States, and, you know, the streets of Philadelphia, yo, you know, straight up in the hoods and barrios of Philadelphia is where I grew up. You know, and I came along in the 60s, so, you know, from way back even, right now, you know, because this was last year. And so, you know, I'm there for the 2 weeks, yet, you know, the sisters, and I'm not understanding folks as I'm right there with them. Now, I listen to reggae music, and I have been listening to reggae music pretty consistently since, what was it? Early 2000 or so. So what? Yeah, it's been, what, a good 10, 15 years about then, because I was over out there in part of the city. My husband and I were separated during that time period when I got involved with the reggae and started to really listen. And actually while I was working on my PhD as well. So that was in the early 2000s. That I begin to listen to the reggae music and different artists that I become familiar with because I listen to it over and over and over again. Yet, of course, being there face-to-face and one-on-one with the brethren and sistren is very different because it was real up-close personal experience. And so it was more challenging for me to understand what they were saying. And for me, there was a need for them to, you know, kind of slow down and repeat. And, you know, I had to stop and I would focus and work to listen and hear. So that was the dynamic. Yet the sister said and made it like, because I had my music and I had music. And, of course, the music that I know, because I've been listening to it for the last 10 years, 15 years. And so I understand what Buju's saying. I understand what Luciano's saying. I understand what Sizzler them saying because I have been able to listen to them over and over again and stop it and rewind it, you know. Yet here we are in the moment. And if you don't stop and rewind for me, I will not understand you the way I understand them. Had you simply asked me. As opposed to simply stating in seemingly a very flippant, joking, ridiculing fashion, she said to the, you know, as we stood around in the village up in the kitchen area in the evening. It was awesome experience and an awesome place. I mean, the energy, the space, the place is just perfect. And this kitchen, you know, on the outside, you know, we're out there. So, you know, she says to the others, like, oh, you know, she can understand reggae, but she can't understand us right here, ha, ha, ha. You know, without stopping to ask me, you know, how is that? Excuse me, and giving me the opportunity to share why that is and what I would need. Thank you for noticing that I can't understand your ass. You know, first and foremost, because I cannot yet. And at the same time, I am here. And if you seek to know why, then I'm here for you to ask me. And that's why I've come, so that we can connect, to reconnect. Yet instead, what I got was the same ridicule and the same hurtful bullshit, the same dismissing and disregarding, the same labeling shit that we have gotten from that other culture, white folks' way of thinking about us is the same way we work and think about each other and us. And it's what we give us. And as I, you know, recognized, you know, another brother up there, you know, Inega, you know, said something to the effect of, well, we don't know you and I don't know you. Well, here I am. You can get to know me. Ask me whatever it is you want. I'm open. I'm ready. I'm an open book. And I shared that song with you. I'm an open book. You know, I'm here to share. Just ask me. Now, for my shit in all of this, that I was not able to say this as I'm saying it right here, right now. Ask me. That's why I'm here. Those words did not come out of my mouth with the same passion that it's coming right now. Though I kind of thought it yet, and at the same time, given the state of healing that I am in, that area, that particular area of speaking out and verbally fighting back for myself is still one that is not as well healed, I suppose, as it could be. And that is because when I do open up and speak back, the response is like, whoosh, you know, quick and fierce often. Because it comes from a very true and truthful space and energy. And people recognize that and feel that. And we have been programmed, I believe, certainly to attack that. And because the truth that I bring as I bring it also helps us to see ourselves in that shit. And most folk are not ready, are not prepared, are not able to see themselves. Yet I can see myself. It's like, what was wrong with me and what stopped me and what is it that I've been through all the years of fucking therapy and shit that I've been through, what I know about myself, how much money I put out there to go through therapy and how much study of this therapeutic shit and studying the mind and recognizing how the mind really, the stuff that I studied, how it is really true. Because I see it in not only myself, yet other folks as well. And never mind, you know, I have been out there working, you know, because as a black folk coming from where I'm from, whatever income I had to work for it. So my work was actually with the people. So the information that I gather and what I know about people is based on that 30-year experience, hands-on. Up front and personal in people's homes, you know, wherever folk go, you know, that was me because I'm from the same place they was from. And never mind that I walked the same walk in terms of getting the treatment and, you know, yeah, seeing my own therapist and being hospitalized at times too, you know, trying to do this, yeah, I want to get up out of here, give me something, let me just, you know, slice and cut and whatever, be done with it, you know. And so I've had that experience and understand the thoughts that prompted those ways of thinking and behaving. Yet, you know, so with the sister and the folks up at the Rasta Village Queen, my sister Queen, it's like, could have asked me. That's what I was there for. Yet folk won't ask. And how about for me, I had to think about for myself, or why couldn't I, why didn't I speak up for myself, you know? And I have to stop back and look at myself like, what the hell did you? Why didn't you? And when I began to look at the factors that supported me not doing it, it's like, you know, I see. Look, you know, it's me. I'm always over here in Jamaica by myself, you know. And I'm working to somehow, you know, I don't know, not create conflict for sure and not present in a way that is interpreted as argumentative, you know, because I'm up here in a mountain space by myself. It's all y'all, you know. Than me. And at that point, and even up until the time I left, so the, you know, really, there was not a sense that I had that there was somebody who had my back up in there. So I've got to work to play it cool and try to understand. And then I'm also a person who does work to understand and hold back and think about and process shit like, you know, breathe and whistle. Where could this be coming from? Where is this coming from? What is, you know, now how might I want to respond to this in a way that is, you know, light, respectful? And then here's the other thing. Mama, you can't understand what the flip flop I'm saying either. And we don't slow down and recognize, what did you say, and ask me to repeat it, and let's work to get clear. You know, that didn't happen. And it was me against all these folks. And so I didn't, you know, at that early stage, and then even throughout my experience, which for me overall was very painful. Very, very hurtful, very traumatizing. Still processing those experiences and working to process through the trauma of it. Or I did sense abuse in the way, abuse, misuse, you know, of me and my time, my energy, and what I gave, and what I came and what I gave, and for what I got in return. No, it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool on so many levels, you know, just about, you know, so many levels on every level. Then I had experiences with individuals and one-on-one here and there that was very good. So, you know, I'm not saying it was all totally, you know, out of line for sure, because we know that for me, I do know everything comes with a both and. So for all the pain and painful experiences that I experienced, there were also many positive things that I, you know, are dear, near and dear, and that I feel. Even as I speak right now, it's like I can see myself and feel myself right there in the middle of that yard and can stretch myself out. And this is beauty. The place is, you know, and recognizing the work that has been done to create that place. Like, you know, awesome, down by the river. What? And smiling as I remember the mud faces that we made, you know, the mask, the face mask. You know, with the youth then. Yet I also remember at the same time how it seems that there was lots of punishment going on because of my connection with the youth and or my interactions or involvement. And again, still, because you didn't know me is why you responded in the way that you did, yet and at the same time you did no work to get to know me, because I can't force you to ask me questions to get to know me. That part was, you know, yours. And if I had brought myself up there, there was no desire to sit and let's have conversations and build. But that's the generation that I come from and what we did. And even as I listened to the message and listened to the music and recognized that if this is the cultural value that we are been fighting for and working towards, this African collective, then as an African, that's what we would do. We'd sit around at night around the fire in the hut and have conversations with each other. Yet that didn't happen for me there. There were families and everybody went off into their own space at the end of the day. And the days came quick. They ended quick up there in the mountains, yo, because once the sun went down and it's 6 o'clock in the evening or whatever, it's dark. You know, it's 7 p.m. It's dark, yo, in the middle of summer. For me, in the middle of summer, it's still daylight outside now, and it's like 8:30 in the evening. So, yeah, I don't know yet. When it got dark up there. That's just the thing. There's no street light, you know, and things like that. So that was a thing, you know. There are no light posts and all that. And that was cool yet. And at the same time, what that meant is people went into their own private spaces, and I'm just up here alone with nobody to talk to still. When everything in me, you know, certainly wants to answer the questions and wants to ask more questions and get to know and do things, yet that didn't happen. And even as I am, the more I talk about it right now, I'm getting down to this feeling of it all. And then as I begin to, you know, I feel it in my heart. I'm beginning to feel the pain, and it's like the bubble that's there, you know, if I continue, will likely continue to rise and possibly pop. And if that bubble rose and popped, I would likely to be bringing forth tears, you know. And so that's where we are for now. Maybe we're going to take a break. I don't know how to with the new dashboard on Blog Talk. It's been a minute since I've done that, and their dashboard is very different than what it used to be, and I have no clue if anyone is listening right now, and I have no sense of how to pause and play a song. It's very different layout. Let's see if I go to my studio. Is that where I need to be? And that should give me some. Yeah, that's I remember seeing this type of thing. And so we will take a quick pause here and play the next tune that I thought was going to come up. I recognize that the reason that people have done the things that they have done, and I understand and recognize the whys of they didn't act, and I understand even the whys that I didn't fight to make it known or to tell. Well, here, let me tell you, because I could have just answered the question in that way when brother said, you know, and I don't know you. Oh, brother, I'm here for you to know me. Can we get together? When can we talk? What is it you would like to know about me? You know, and oh, yes, I haven't even gotten to the part where, you know, the sister who handles the business, who makes the reservation and collects the money. You know, this like the first and last person almost. It was the first, but she wasn't the last person I had to see because she just finally disappeared through it all, you know, in the end. Said one thing that was going to happen and then just boom, just dropped off. The person who set the value and who was responsible, rather, for setting the value for folks to come up there. And who is responsible for collecting the money and handling the business end of shit. You know, if I could even, I wouldn't even, maybe I begin to think about and talk about that after the break. Yet I recognize that the reasons that we do and have done the things that we have done and do to each other is because we have been broken. And when, in order to heal, we have to show where the shit hurts. And that's what it's all about for me. It's trauma recovery with love.
It's real. It's real. I'm the same. Don't do any more illusion. Don't you ever try to live a dream.
Okay, so I have to stop that because I, you know, I did have an issue uploading these songs, and that is not. Of course, Broken People, that's not the tune. Let me see if it's this one, and if I relabeled this one wrong, and maybe I deleted the wrong Broken People, and so that's what that is. Let's see. Yeah, so I do not have my tune, and I did delete it off, and so that's too bad. So do we want to go with a Buju tune? Because that's what we have available right now. I'm, like I said, I'm back to Blog Talk Radio, and I'm new, and so I have not organized and uploaded many tunes and things that I would like to play to take the breaks and so forth. And at this point, there also is not anyone on the line with me who asked a question or share some thoughts that may have come up for them as they have listened to me speaking. So that means that I could play Buju, and it's like, you know, how could you go on and acting like this stuff is not happening? You know, we could put this in the frame, you know, away from Broken People, but I know we are Broken People, and at some point we will get that tune back up in rotation. Broken People by Tanya Stevens. Yet we're going to go ahead to Buju, and I, who asked the question, how could you rise up every living flipping day acting like this shit ain't going on and acting like you have never done anything that was hurtful, that maybe you might want to say, oh, stop, let's have a flipping conversation, and what can I do to support the healing? Because that's simply and ultimately what I am also seeking and asking for and working to prompt and to promote and to instigate towards. So when we share trauma recovery from here in the rooms of recovery, this racism, not anonymous, and all trauma. It's just trauma recovery with love. It's not even necessarily just the racism, even though that's part of, you know, ultimately, you know, what has affected us, influenced us. And, you know, so even when Buju asks the questions, how could you, it's, you know, I don't know how much we are doing ourselves versus it's the culture that has been injected into our space. Yes, the European culture that has been injected into our cultural space. Yet, we'll let Buju ask the question.
It is real. I dream of the same. Don't you live my illusion. Don't you ever try to live a dream. I say, but just say, how could you rise up every living day? Telling yourself everything is okay. When you look at life, you see it slipping away. God knows who feels it every moment, every day. Those who cry for the poor get neglected, rejected, put to death. How much more we are going to take? Did the papa walk off him shot? Blood, sweat, and tears. Don't tell me that you no forget. Been oppressed by the oppressors on different type of stress. For the sorrows of the poor, they don't even care. Let's refuse to deal with all atrocities. Civil unrest instead of building penitentiaries as big as madness. Saying we are to be blind for whatever wantness. How could we rise up every living day? Telling your kids everything is okay. When you look at life, we see it slipping away. God knows who cry every moment, every day. Some say, how you doing? They want to know if we find that until we repossess what's rightfully mine. Sitting down for so long, we do believe it is time. Everyone is entitled to food at meal time. Till then, we'll struggle for rights. Some warriors shall fight. Degradation to the highest heights. All obstacles as a people we have to cross. With health and strength, we all can get past. Happenings of yesterday are just a thing of the past. How could we rise every living day? Telling we sail. Sing my song, though we in a strange land with evil lost one. Every week if you're strong, iron sharp iron. When you don't take a look, is where the helper come from. What about the mastermind, them with the foolproof plan? What about the genius, them who achieve great one? How could we rise up every living day, telling we self everything is okay? When we look at life, it starts slipping away. Lord, those who cry every moment, the poor get rejected, neglected, put to death. How much more we are going to take? Did the papa walk off him short? Blood, sweat, and tears. Don't tell me that you don't forget. Been oppressed by the oppressors on different type of stress. For the sorrows of the poor, they don't even care. Let's refuse to deal with all atrocities. Civil unrest is said to be the penitentiaries as big as birthdays. Saying we are to be blamed for whatever one may.
It's all slipping away. So how can we rise up every day and sort of not take the opportunity to take responsibility for ourselves or to look at ourselves or to ask that question, you know, why? I don't know, how can we do it? How can we rise up every living day and continue to do the same things again? And, you know, I just kind of clicked over to the page at Rastafari Indigenous Village so that I can see how to post this broadcast to their page, because I am sharing actually with my brethren and sistren at the Rastafari Village, who spiritual connection, it's very strong for me. And, you know, just in terms of the connection, the recognition sort of each other and each other's spirit and spiritual purposes and spiritual vision and spiritual passion for living a life, healing, as they suggested. And as First Man, suggested to me, the Rastafari Indigenous Village was originally created to support a healing of the healers, yet myself being the first healer to trod and make my way there with the last of what I had, having lost my husband, making his transition and leaving me alone, me a black woman. Free and alone and free, therefore, to be available to give the gifts that the Creatress has given to me to give. And one who certainly needs healing and bringing a program to support the healing for others and for us. One that would bring us together, truly unifies us and unites us. Yet no one even stopped to ask the question, to learn, to find out how to. Yet the spirit, your spirit certainly called and drew me. And at least for me, I can say, well, I did give of myself and of the resources that I had available to me and took that journey to the village. I was not able to actively speak and fight back verbally with you, to fight for and help you to hear me. This is what I'm here for. I'm not here to hurt you. I want what you want. I'm here to join. Can we share and get to know each other? I know there are many things you don't know about me, and there are many that I don't know about you, and at the same time, things that we know about each other. At least for me, I believe there are things that I knew about you based on the message and the music from Rasta and from the Rasta community. Those messages that I hear, Buju and Tanya and Sizzla and Smitty Spice and who else, Chuck Fender, and all of them spitting out. Those are the messages that I believe come from you. Maccabee, what? And that is what I know sort of about you. What do you know about me, of being a black sister from the state? Growing up in Philadelphia in the time and with the experiences of Malcolm and Martin, and what did that mean and how did that shape us? And, you know, for my brother First Man, you know that I did share something that you knew, and when you heard it, it was like, oh, shit, that makes sense. Why would the sistren over here act like that? You know, they act like the queen, because there's a queen who the head of the culture there. Here, it's been a president, a white male, who has set the stage, who's at the top, and we know shit flows down. So if there, at the cultural top pinnacle is the queen, then the shit of a queen will flow down, and the women connect based on that fact. And for us here, because it's the men and they shit always dumping down on us first, for me, you know, I also had to be cautious with how I, you know, interacted with the male, first one, you, who supported my decision to come there, who I had a conversation with, and who, you know, set even the parameters of the business, you know, helped me out with that. I recognize that. Because if I had gone just straight to the cistern, it might have cost me a whole lot more initially than what the agreement was. Yet that's not what I got. And what I got in return instead for me was sort of walking on eggshells for 2 weeks. In many ways. On some levels that wasn't happening, and on other levels it was. And the levels that it was happening did, for me in fact, overshadow the times that it didn't. Oh, you may say, oh, well, see, there you go, that's your problem. Automatically not looking at yourself. Automatically keeping your focus on me and not looking at yourself. And that's how we have all been, it seems to me, socialized and supported with doing. Whether we are in Jamaica, whether we are Africans in Jamaica, whether we are Africans on the continent, whether we are Africans in Brazil, whether we are Africans here in the States, that way of behaving is the European way, because it's certainly what they do when their shit is exposed. Their first order of business is to deny and to first certainly focus on the other person. Well, look at black on black crime, but what about black people who do this and never stop? It's just, you know, focus on your own shit. How about that? And that, you know, what is required if folk want to heal. And so for me at this point, that's about all I have to say, you know, that's all I have to say. And I thank you all for listening to me share, and we'll see about coming back, since we're going to give this a trial this month, where we have premium membership and we could give this a trial, and we can do shows at any given time. And as I just clicked on and in the moment, went ahead and did this, is likely how I am likely to do other shows from Trauma Recovery with Love. It is with love, lifting our valuable energy. What's valuable in this? So that was the experience, the strengths of it. What did I learn? I said that I would share the lessons and the blessings. And so what did I learn? I learned, another place where black folks are fucked up in, you know, another space. So that I learned that, you know, solidified and just validated anyway. The experiences that I, you know, recognize and the extent of the damage of the system of racism is the lesson and what it helped me see. It helped me see the extent of the damage of this system of racism, white supreme lies of African descendants. It helped me see how pervasive the harm has been, that we, wherever we are, no matter what our foundation and core beliefs are, because I do know and trust that the core belief and value of my brethren and sisters up there in the village is similar to my own, which is to do no harm and to offer help and love and all of those things. That is the core. And at the same time, the shit that has been dumped on that core is what we come in contact with first when we interact with each other. And if we are not cleaning up our own shit that is covering our core, then the people that come in contact with us will get our shit. And when we deny that that is happening, when we are only able to see our core and not recognize the shit that is covering us, we will continue to sling shit at each other and wonder why we can't get up out of this shit that we as a people are in. That's it. I'm checking out for tonight.
Drop me to the chair, I'm guilty. I killed it and I didn't care. Oh Lord, I am guilty. Unapologetic drinking, I'm guilty. They're gonna leave me to strike again when they know that I'm guilty. My hands are filthy. Maybe in the next life I'll come back as a better girl, but right now I'm just pissed because I killed it enough to go federal. Yes, I'm stuck in this county chain, yeah. They gave me life, but I swear I'll go postal and murder everything here till they give me the chair. Bundling me with a bunch of small time hoodlums, purse grabbers, petty criminals, counterfeiters, grave robbers. People claiming we got beef when me never even see them. And I come with a burger, me ever heard of Brahman Kofi get them. Saying stuff like that could negatively affect my time, cause it's treated like a crime every time I pick up my rhymes. Everybody else is allowed to be proud of their crappy lines, but somehow I'm egotistical if I say I'm proud of mine. Double standard industry efforts trying to mess with my head, saying crap like she killed it good for a girl, but I'm confused, is it less dead? It's amusing really, the story of my life. Get less charges for spitting bullets than others get for spitting a dinner knife. But denial wears so many disguises, like Bruce Willis, dead, just refuse to realize it. Calculating assassin, should be lethally injected instead. I'm breaking rocks with misdemeanor, mother effers chained to my legs. Strap me to the chair, I'm guilty. I killed it and I didn't care, oh Lord, I am guilty. Unapologetic princess, I am guilty. Whoa, they're gonna leave me to strike again when they know that I'm guilty.
My hands are filthy.